92.1, Black Doug Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3 Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9 Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's Rock Station. The following is a special presentation of the Beaver Radio Network. It's time for the huddle at the Tavern of South Shore. Each Wednesday, get into the huddle with Beaver coaches and student athletes. The huddle is Beaver football.
And shotgun snap looks to pass into the corner of the end zone. Wide open, underthrown, but caught. Touchdown, Bemidji State. Touchdown to Brendan Bolio. Bolio, his second touchdown of the season, just a fade right down the far sideline.
The Tavern on the South Shore, where Lakeside meets your hungrier side. The huddle is the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Homecoming week upon us at Bemidji State. Schultze, Biss, and Kell with you tonight, and we will be joined a little later on in the show tonight by a former Beaver who was an All-American, who blocked for Eddie Acosta. He played at BSU. He coached at BSU. He's the current head coach of the Bemidji Lumberjack High School football team. Brian Stoffel will join us as soon as they get done with practice tonight.
Schultze, you forgot to mention the most important part of that. He's married to a former women's hockey player, Jackie Robertson.
Well, it's football season.
I know, but
it's
still.
It's not hockey season until Saturday.
Women's hockey starts on Saturday.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
At least the weather does not look hockey-ish quite yet.
Thank God.
Yeah, so Brian Stoffel will join us a little bit later on in the show tonight as we get you ready for homecoming against the Augustana Vikings. And Biss, you and I were there 2 years ago, homecoming against the Augustana College Vikings. What a crazy game that thing was.
Seems like every homecoming game is like that. But, yeah, it was nuts. And then, of course, they pull it off again. They've had tremendous success.
They've won their last 10 homecoming games.
And that's just crazy. It's not like they are serving up.
They're not playing cupcakes.
Right, exactly. For homecoming, it's been a challenge. And obviously, they've been up to the cause. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Depending on the weather, you know, you got to jump in the lake afterwards. But obviously, they want to win the football game. And, I don't know if you'll get a much crazier game than, at least fourth quarter of that Augustana game 2 years ago.
BSU let Augustana score. Had to save clock. So Augustana scores, misses the extra point. So Augustana's up 7. They make the extra point, they're up 8, and BSU has to go for 2 if they score.
Mm-hmm.
So BSU down 7, no timeouts. 50-some seconds to go. They tell kick returner, run it out of the end zone. Do what you can. Try to get a big play. It goes off Monkey Junker's chest and falls out of bounds at the 5. And BSU marched down the field, scored the touchdown. We're thinking, all right, kick the extra point. Let's go to overtime. That's not how Brent Bolte rolls. They had determined prior to allowing Augustana to score that they'd have to go for 2 because they'd make the extra point and go up by 8. So they had already said, we're going for 2. Well, then they miss the extra point, and they say, well, we've already decided we're going for 2. We're going to go for 2. They run the play for the 2-point conversion. It's an incomplete pass. There's a penalty. They ran the same play. Got the 2-point conversion and won.
And people go, and the crowd goes crazy.
They went beyond crazy.
Well, it was an unbelievable finish. And who would have thought, again, 95 yards in 50 seconds with no timeouts? I mean, it was an incredible way to finish the game.
There was a late hit by Augustana and another 15-yard penalty. I think it was pass interference or something. There were 2 15-yard penalties on Augie on that drive. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a way, I mean, obviously miss extra point. I mean, everything had to fall in line. Maybe that's the magic and karma of BSU homecoming. Because there's been, I don't know, that crazy of a finish, but there's been a lot of crazy finishes through the years. But homecoming, always a special game, obviously. Good to have the fans back and some activities planned for the weekend. So weather looks beautiful. So it should be a good time.
Should be a great time. We actually kicked off the Beaver Radio Network homecoming week broadcast last night with some volleyball. The Beaver volleyball team took number 20 ranked St. Cloud State to four sets last night, almost won that fourth set. It was pretty impressive. They looked pretty good in those last two sets.
You're doing volleyball now.
Yeah, I've done volleyball before.
On the rate. Well, I hear you're a volleyball ref now.
Shh. Don't tell too many people that.
Okay.
Well, I'm still learning.
We like to stay incognito.
I don't blame you. As referees, I don't blame you. But
although I will say that my reffing has helped. It helped last night tremendously because there were a lot of times I was like, what did the refs call? I look up and I see the ref on the stand and make the call, and I knew what the call was. So
yeah, otherwise, I mean, like if you had me do a volleyball game, it'd be pretty basic. It'd be, okay, they hit it over the net. The other team's hitting it. They hit it over to that person.
Bump, set, spike, best? Right?
Yeah, it would have been bump, set, spike, which best? Is now.
There's a reason we don't ask you along for those nights.
It's set, kill.
Pass, set, kill.
Pass, set, kill. Now.
Hit. Of, you call it a hit.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Well, that's great that you guys covered the volleyball team, and I know they've struggled at times. They're in a really tough division. Hasn't the national champions come out of the
like
NSIC?
There's like six or seven teams that are ranked in the
like
national rankings.
Three-quarters of the
right
team
now.
Is either ranked or receiving votes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And St. Cloud State was one of them. Last weekend, the Beaver volleyball team took number 8, Wayne State, into...
Southwest,
into four sets, and now they're ranked number 5, so...
The Beaver soccer team is also ranked right now. They go from unranked to 15th.
Wow.
Oh, just because Sarah Wendt scores a lot of goals.
Sarah Wendt has 8 goals this season. She's leading the nation.
Wow. And they're 5-0.
In 5 games, she scored 8 goals.
Yes.
Which is almost 100% of the total, it looks like.
8 of 11.
8 of 11. That's a pretty good percentage.
You would think that somebody would play defense on her.
Well, so far, so good for, obviously, the soccer team.
She's hard to play defense against. I talked to Alyssa Stamba, their starting goalkeeper, and she said in practice she hates defending Sarah Wendt because she always scores. Always. She's hard to stop.
Well, it's interesting as the soccer team, I mean, you know, you're always going to be up against the undefeated season. You know, if you want to have a, one for the record books, you got to go undefeated now because of what that team did a couple of years ago. But obviously off to a great start. And really the end goal is to, you know, get to the championship in the postseason and get to the playoffs like they did a couple of years ago.
Let's hope so.
They are on the road this weekend. Volleyball is on the road this weekend. Women's hockey is on the road this weekend. Cross country is on the road this weekend. Football, the only team that is abiding by the homecoming rules of playing at home.
You wouldn't be homecoming if you didn't play at home.
Exactly. We will take a break here at the tavern. We're going to give away some stuff while we are gone. And when we come back, Brian Stoffel, Beaver Football All-American, will join us. It's the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern right now on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
There will be stages in life that cause you to pause, reflect, and maybe move in a new direction. With Thrivent Financial, you don't have to face those times alone. Our financial professionals apply their faith, passion, and expertise to guide Christians to be wise with money, offering life insurance, retirement, college planning options, and more. The Alan Zutz Financial Group can help you craft a plan around your goals and values. Call Alan, Sandra, Connor, or Rice at 444-0202.
Ooh, that kickoff headed way out of bounds. Well, that just turned into a penalty for somebody's vehicle. Well, while the refs are trying to figure out that play, let's call Chandler's Detail Plus and Auto Glass to fix that windshield. Detail Plus works with all insurance companies, and with any windshield replacement, they'll give you a free mini car detail. Now that's a plus. Visit online, detailplusbemidji.com, or call 444-PLUS.
Hi, Dan the Chevy Man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM Man here. Not only do we have a full line of Chevys, we have Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. Summer is here, and now is a great time to drive that vehicle you've been looking for. Along with our awesome new car and truck lineup, we have a super pre-owned inventory. And don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
Can I list all the things you can do with First National Bank Bemidji Digital Banking in 30 seconds? Send money via email, transfer cash to a phone, to anyone, anywhere, whether you're out or at home. Your card gets lost? Not to worry. Turn it off from your phone. Do it in a hurry. Found it already? That was quick. Turn it on again with just one click. Control your teen's spending. Limit when, where, how. It's all quick and simple. You can start using it now. See for yourself what digital banking can do. First National Bank Bemidji. Member FDIC. Phew.
The GigaZone from Paul Bunyan Communications is 10 times faster. Now you can get internet upload and download speeds up to 10 gigabits per second. Plus, you can add GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi featuring Wi-Fi 6 technology to get the best in-home wireless experience. For the fastest internet service for your home or business, choose Minnesota's largest broadband cooperative, Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone. It's right here. Service availability depends upon location. Some restrictions may apply.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there?
Welcome back to the Tavern on South Shore, the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Homecoming for the Beavers this weekend. They will take on Augustana. The homecoming parade goes down Birchmont Drive at 11. Turns into Diamond Point Park. Goes right into a tailgate party. Our Budweiser pregame show starts at 1:30. Beaver football kickoff at 2. Right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
So what time's the tailgate party start?
11. Right after
11.
The parade.
11. And kickoff is
2.
Oh,
sweet.
And by the way, at the tailgate party, Jody and Mark are going to be grilling up some Keith's Pizza, which, by the way, you can get here at the tavern now.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow,
okay.
That's a good product plug there, Kel.
Seriously, we were the most popular people at the last Beaver home game because everybody was like, Keith's Pizza
so
on the grill.
So is it free? I mean, literally,
yeah.
I can.
Heck yeah.
It's free?
Yeah.
Well, you can't eat the whole pie.
Well.
And Jody cuts it in perfectly
still,
little triangles.
So it's, wood grilled or?
Grilled.
Right on the pancake griddle for
wow.
The.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Sweet.
Brian Stoffel, native of St. Paul, came to BSU in 2000 after a one-year stint at NDSU. He became an All-American. He blocked for Eddie Acosta. Then he became a coach of the Beavs, current head coach of the Bemidji Lumberjacks. Stoff, welcome. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
What went into the decision of transferring from NDSU to BSU?
Well, you know, I get that question a lot, and the first thing was Jeff Tesh, and it was the way he recruited me and the way I developed a relationship with him. And when I stepped away from NDSU, I had a lot of growing up to do, so I took a fall off and kind of tried to figure my life out. And my dad actually reached out to Jeff. My dad always wanted me to go to BSU. And so I think he had enough of me living in his house. And so he reached out to Jeff and said, hey, let's give this guy another shot. And Coach Tesh got a hold of me, and that kind of sealed the deal after I came up.
So you grew up in St. Paul, went to Humboldt.
That's right.
What's the connection between your dad and wanting him, he wanted you to go to BSU?
He came up on my visit when we came up here, and he loved everything about it. And that was the week after I went to NDSU, so what NDSU had for facilities and things compared to what BSU had at the time, I was a little bit awestruck, and I wasn't looking at the bigger picture where my dad was, and he really enjoyed it up here, and I think he had a better time on the recruiting trip than I did, so that's what he really sold, and he really enjoyed Coach Tesh as well, and that's luckily he pushed me in that direction.
Was Eddie in your grade? Was he ahead of you, behind you?
He was in my grade. So he's actually a year behind me, but I redshirted at NDSU and Eddie played right away. So when I got here, by that time, we were in the same grade.
How long did it take you to figure out, wow, this guy's really good?
Not very long at all.
Or did he realize, wow, my offensive line is really good, I can run?
No, it was all him. It made it a lot easier to block for Eddie when all you had to do is hold the block for a couple seconds and boom, he's gone. So we really enjoyed having him on the team. I actually mistaked Ryan McCready for Eddie Acosta my first day, to which I still don't live that down by either guys. So, it was a pleasure blocking for Eddie those 4 years.
Well, did you know in the moment, you guys were making history in a way with how well Eddie ran the football. It seemed like every time the first play of the game, he'd go 80 yards for a touchdown, and the opposing team couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of those years. There was a couple years where we were pretty dynamic on offense, and that was probably the most fun I had playing football, just because when you went out on the field, you expected to score every single time, and when you have a group of guys like that and you have an offense like that, the confidence, it's just so much fun playing in that situation. And so those years were a lot of fun as far as playing for an offense.
Of your time at BSU, obviously you've played in a couple of homecoming games, and I'm sure Schulte's going to want to ask you about the most memorable one. So I'm going to pass it back to him because I can't steal that question.
Yeah. Do you remember your first homecoming here?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember what the final score was?
I'm going to take a stab at it. It was against Northern State. No.
October 7th, 2000?
Yes. And I want to say, no, I'm sorry, not Northern State. I'm thinking of a different. This is Southwest State.
Southwest.
Yep. And the score was, I think, in five overtimes, 65-63.
65-63 and four overtimes.
Four overtimes.
That's a great memory.
Yes.
It was tied 37-37 at the end of regulation.
Yeah, but it was 33 degrees out and snowing.
That's right.
Game time temperature, 33, and it was snowing on October 7th.
Yes.
That just seems wrong.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember that one vividly.
And you guys jumped in the lake, of course.
We still jumped in the lake, yep. That was a fun game. At the same, it was a fun game, but it was frustrating, and it was also just nerve-wracking. You felt depleted when that game was over, just the highs and lows that came with it. I think one of the overtimes, we were at the 20-yard line trying to score on a fourth down, and somehow, miraculously, we scored a touchdown through the air. It was something like that. And so when you go through the highs and lows of the emotion of that game, I think everybody just needed to jump in the water just to cool off, even in 33 degrees weather.
It was crazy. Schulte was telling me about this, last night? Two nights ago. And he said the final after the fourth quarter was like 37-37. And I'm thinking the final of the game was 60. You should basically played two football games in one night.
And it felt like that.
Gosh.
Ryan Welly was the quarterback of that team. Eddie Acosta was there. Who else that Beaver fans?
Well, Jeff.
Once you get a reminder of Ryan Welly, you say their name.
Ryan Welly was a receiver.
Yeah. Ryan was the receiver. Jeff Martinson was the quarterback at the time. Those three were as dynamic as we've had, I think, in the time that I've been following BSU football. And then, the offensive line won't talk to me if I don't list those guys. You got Brandon Pink, Jerry Daigle, Brad Borkus over the Lamar Williams. Those are the type of guys that I remember when I think back on that team and the fun that we had.
Do you guys keep in touch still?
Yeah, actually, we'll have me and Jackie. Oops. Oh, there we go. Me and Jackie have a contingent of 11 couples. Not 11 couples, 11 people coming to our house this weekend. So we got quite a bit of kids and guys coming up for homecoming that we still talk to and still enjoy each other's company after all these years.
Well, if you think back to that time of Beaver football, I mean, it was a pretty rough go of it for a while until late 90s and Coach Tesh got here. So really it was your team, I think, more than anything else, that 2000 to 2004, all the people we talked about that really changed kind of the history of BSU football and the program and established a winning tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. And that has to go back to Coach Tesh, and it has to go back to his assistants. Coach Yonner was a part of that as well. Aaron Vlecko was another one back then. They did such a fantastic job of changing the culture that was there. When I was being recruited out of high school to BSU, they were coming off two and eight seasons in a row, and my high school didn't have a winning tradition, and so the last thing I wanted to do is go do that again.
Yeah.
And so that was played a big role as to why I made my decision out of high school. But then afterwards, that group of, I think it was the 99 group, they ended up having, I think, a 6-4 record, and so that showed me that there's possibilities here. And then when we got here, I think it was like just a confluence of situation that happened. We had a bunch of kids that would transfer in that played a big role, and then they also did such a great job of recruiting locally, and they got some great talent here. And as soon as you had that, and then once we started rolling and winning some football games, then the confidence came, and then that kind of built on itself.
How much did your time at Bemidji State influence you to stay in Bemidji as in the community with your wife Jackie? Obviously, I know Jackie from women's hockey and a former player there, but what made you guys decide to stay in Bemidji?
Well, I feel very fortunate, very lucky to be able to come to this community, and you don't know it as a 20-year-old kid as you go through college and you're here, but as you stay around long enough, you just it's the people that are here and the people that make Bemidji great. And I've really been blessed to have good people in my life, and those are people that have kind of guided the direction that I've taken in my life, and I'm sure my wife would say the same. But we stay in Bemidji because of the people. We love the community, and we love the way we can fit into that.
Well, you mentioned your dad wanted to come to school here. Was there any tie before then? Did you guys ever come to Bemidji to see Paul and Babe or anything as a kid?
No. So I'll tell you, as a St. Paul boy, when you would have said Bemidji to me growing up, that's basically Canada. That's what I thought. There's nothing. I was thinking there's going to be a couple trees, I'm sure. And I remember Coach Tash's recruiting line. He's like, hey, we got great big brick buildings, he mentioned. I was like, who is this guy? I'm like, I don't see brick buildings down here in the cities, you know. So when I came up here on my recruiting visit, it was the frozen tundra because it's January.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
don't get to see what's up here. And then I remember when I came up the following year in the fall for another recruiting day just to watch a game and see all that's there right at campus. And I go home and I tell my dad, like, hey, Dad, you know the field is 20 feet away from the lake?
Yeah.
And my dad's perfect way, he's like, yeah, I'm sure it moved in the time that you were there last time. You just didn't pay attention. Yeah, you're probably right.
It was frozen.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't even see the lake, probably.
Yeah. You played left guard. You became BSU's second ever All-American. Left tackles get the gazillion-dollar contracts in the NFL. What made you an All-American as a right guard?
Well,
or left guard, excuse me.
Number one, I played with a lot of really good players. You're not going to win an award like that without having really good teammates, and we had those in our running backs, our receivers, but also the linemen that were sandwiched beside me. I had Jerry Daigle as a center, and then Brandon Pink as a tackle. That rolled over to Bryce Volbrecht and even Rob Selb as I was older. But those guys are, as an O lineman, you don't do it by yourself, that's for sure. It's one cog, one unit that's working. And so I guess I was lucky enough to be in a position to have good teammates and those that helped raise my level of play. And fortunately enough, Eddie Acosta got us enough publicity so that maybe there's somebody worthwhile there, or, you know, and luckily I got it.
I actually tried getting Bryce Volbrecht on the show tonight. He's a DNR conservation officer in town yet.
Oh, he's still around too.
There are a lot of guys.
Ryan McCrady's still around?
He's still around,
that
yes.
are not from here that just stayed. And that's what's great about homecoming is you get to honor and celebrate all those people that made the decision. You know what? I like it here, and I want to stay here.
Well, not to mention everybody coming back's got a place to stay.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds like it, yeah. Next time I'm going to charge, guys.
Yeah, exactly. The Verbo or...
The VRBO, just for one weekend.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's snowing that first homecoming. You guys win in four overtimes. How long did you spend in the lake when it's that cold out?
It's a sizable time because you have to sing the song in the lake and you got to wait for everybody to get there. And that's one thing I didn't realize right away. That was a rookie mistake. So I was so excited. Number one, I ran in with all my equipment and jumped right in. I might have been like the second or third guy. Well, all these people are still shaking hands and talking and they're taking their sweet old time getting into the lake. I feel like I was sitting there for 10 minutes and freezing. But you don't remember that stuff. You just remember being able to sing the song with the guys and just that memory.
You actually went 3-1 in homecoming.
Yes. I still remember the one that we didn't.
Concordia St. Paul, your sophomore year, you lost 42-27.
Thanks for bringing it up, Schultzy. Appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Way to go, Schultzy.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
The other, your third year, you beat Northern 28-21. Your last year, you beat Moorhead 23-15. They've won 10 straight. As a coach, you know how hard that is.
Yep.
10 straight, what's that number mean to you?
Just really proud of the boys to be able to do that. And it does take a lot to be able to continue to carry that on. For 10 years, it's impressive. And I know how I felt after losing the 1 year and what went into the following year's practice and that week and the mindset that you have after you don't go into the lake once. It creates a lot more intensity and focus in the practice. I remember sitting there visualizing what it's going to look like to go in the lake again, and everything I ever wanted to do was jump back in that lake. So I'm sure the boys are feeling that as they go through, even if they won 10, because it's such a driving force and it's such a great tradition in college football, and for us to have it here at BSU is pretty neat.
That's obviously a motivating factor. When you prepared for homecoming week, was that different than any other week?
You want to say, the coach of me wants to say, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, every week. Same,
every week's
yeah,
the same.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. You knew what was at stake, and you knew what the outcome and the end goal was. And so there's a little bit more dialed in-ness, I guess would be a word for it. I mean, the kids are going to be focused. They're going to be ready to go, and they're going to want to fight tooth and nail to get into that lake.
Brian Stoffler, guest tonight, current Lumberjack coach. He was an All-American here on the offensive line for BSU back in the 2000 to 2003 eras.
I think, Schultzy, I think you have four more times you got to say I was an All-American to get the $20 we talked about. That's how. So we're doing good.
Hey, if you're paying them, though, you got to say like 2012. I mean, we're dating ourselves when it's 2000 to 2003.
Stop. There aren't that many guys that can say they were an All-American.
Yeah.
What other Beavers are? Did Eddie get All-American?
I think Eddie did.
I think
yeah,
he did too,
I'm
right?
Sure.
I thought he did.
He should have. 5,000 yards.
This was the second one ever at BSU.
Second.
I thought he was. I don't know. I could have swore he was one.
Oh, he might have been the first.
Oh, yeah, true.
You were the second. I know that for a fact. We'll take a break. We're at the Tavern on South Shore. It's the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning.
All right, we've got giveaways here tonight. We've got Renaissance Festival tickets along with Tavern gift cards.
Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand.
A pair of
through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice cold Bud Light.
2812.
Welcome back to football, sports fans.
2812.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. That also happens to have
Renaissance
delicious
Festival
meats and fresh
tickets.
Veggies, all sandwiched between fresh baked bread.
2818.
Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order, pickup, or delivery on the app.
Jimmy John's new Chicken Caesar Wrap with seasoned chicken, crisp veggies, Caesar dressing, and crunchy croutons. It's the best salad you've ever had sandwiched into a wrap.
Woo!
New summer wraps for a limited time at Jimmy John's. The sandwich of...
More
no,
Renaissance
the
Festival
wrap
tickets,
of sandwiches.
2840.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew, always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler Mountain Dew,
all right, well, have more,
that's as important
giveaways
a piece of outdoor
thanks
gear as
a four-wheeler
or your fishing rod.
For the coaches, huh?
Mountain Dew. Do the dew.
Great players know all about using energy wisely. Ottertail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University Beavers men's and women's athletics for bringing its energy to the fans listening to live game coverage on the Beaver Radio Network. Teamwork and dedication have brought many rewards over the years. And Ottertail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Higgins Heating would like to remind everyone to get your furnace checked and running at top-notch condition. Higgins Heating, Air Conditioning, and Commercial Refrigeration has been your premier Lennox dealer in Bemidji since 1946, providing quality products and services to their customers. Whether you need a new furnace installed for your home or business, or just want to get it running efficiently and economically, call Higgins Heating today to make your appointment. 751-2801. That's 751-2801.
Bemidji comes to the Pet Zone. Thousands of people from throughout the area have come to the Pet Zone for all of their pet needs, starting with the pets themselves. The Pet Zone has all the family favorites like kittens, bunnies, birds, and fish, plus more exotic pets like snakes, lizards, and tarantulas. Everything you need to feed and care for your pet is at the Pet Zone. Rick and his staff are always friendly and willing to help you with your questions. Come to the Pet Zone, open 7 days a week in the Simonson Center across from Marketplace in Bemidji.
Hey, it's Justin, your service manager here at Rays Sport Marina Bemidji. Here at Rays, we have a dedicated service team to keep you on the water and on the trails this summer. Our award-winning team is ready to help you with any service you might need on your Mercury, Yamaha, or Honda outboard, as well as any Arctic off-road product. Stop in today or call 218-444-1010 to schedule your service appointment and let us help you get back to enjoying your summer on the water. Rays Sport Marine, located a mile and a half north of the airport on Highway 71.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on South Shore. Schultze, Biss, and Kel with you tonight. Homecoming week for Bemidji State, as they will host Augustana on Saturday. Our Budweiser pregame show at 1:30. Beaver football kickoff at 2 o'clock right here on the river. Former Beaver player, former Beaver coach, current Lumberjack head coach, Brian Stoffel, is joining us tonight here at the Tavern. You graduated, and if my timeline is correct, you spent 3 years at Bemidji High School and then went back to BSU to be an assistant coach.
That's right, yep.
What drew you back to BSU?
Well, it really I always wanted to test what college coaching was about, and that was always something I wanted to do. I loved the game, and I was in a point in my career where I was only a half-time teacher, and back then it was really difficult to get teaching jobs. And so I figured, okay, if I can go back, get a master's degree, get some experience coaching at that level, maybe that'll help me get into the teaching field at that point. So that's kind of what drove that, and obviously I still had a connection with Coach Tesh at the time. Coach Bolte was still there, Coach Yonner, all the guys that when I was playing. And then when I got done playing, I actually did a little bit of student assisting. So I kind of had an experience with those guys a little bit, and so when the opportunity arose, I jumped at it.
What's the biggest difference between coaching at the high school level to the college level?
The biggest one is the time commitment and the lifestyle. You know, as a high school coach, once the season's over, I can go back into football at my leisure and my choice. Whenever I want to start working on football again, it could be in January, February, March. Whenever that is, that's when I can go back. But with football, with college, you're at the next thing. So once the football season's done, I mean, you're still recruiting during that, but you're moving on to recruiting. After recruiting, it's right into spring ball. after spring ball. Now the one difference is the summer and what those guys have to do in the summer as far as doing camps and running around. So you're constantly busy, and it does make it tough, you know, have a family and continue to do all the things that you're doing and balance that. The balance is the biggest thing.
Well, when you go from high school, you were a halftime teacher?
Yep.
And a coach?
Yes.
And then you went to the, was it a full-time position at BSU as a coach?
It was a grad assistant position, so I was a full-time grad student. And then I guess they'd say a part-time coach to help out. And so you got a stipend position, and you also had, at the time, you got your schooling paid for.
And you were getting your master's degree?
Yep.
Okay, and then once you got that, you were able to be a teacher at the university as well if you were a coach?
So I taught a few classes, as all grad assistants did. They taught a few classes within the role of being a grad assistant. So that was a part of it. I didn't necessarily teach any above and beyond classes. I just taught a few activity classes, and that's how they staff those, is with our old graduate assistants.
Okay, so you got your school paid for it. Did you also get paid?
I got paid. I mean, we got, I think it was $8,000 a year. So, yeah, we got all sorts of money.
If you call that being paid.
Yeah.
Right. So, I'm trying to paint the picture. I mean, it wasn't, you were building for your future. You weren't cashing in.
No, correct. I mean, you
going back to BSU to be a coach.
You go do a grad assistant job. It's 2 years of, it'll force you either to get out if you don't love the game, or if you love the game, it teaches you a work ethic. And I got a doctorate in football when I went there, and the knowledge I've got from those guys and be able to be around football for those 2 years was invaluable to me.
What does it mean to you as a current coach that staff, Jeff Tesh, Rich Yonner, Brent Pulte, Ken Traxler, we're here for like 20 years.
It's pretty amazing. You don't see that anymore. And being able to be a part of it as a coach and see the inner workings, it was set up for success because the coach always put family first. And so those guys were able to, when they had young kids, they were able to go out and be a part of their lives. And Coach Tesh made it a family-oriented affair there, and that's what I think helped keep guys there. They, you know, everybody, I really enjoyed working for Coach, obviously enjoyed playing for him, but I think that was the culture that he set up, and it's the proof's in the pudding that all those guys stuck around for as long as they did.
Was Trax, he moved around to a bunch of different positions over the years, but I think he started on the O-line, didn't he?
He actually, when I came in, he was on the D-line. And then after, I think I was done GAing, is when he slid over and helped coach with the O-line. So, Trax was a man of many trades. Trax was able to coach a lot of different positions.
So who was your position coach?
Coach Tesh. He was the O-line coach at the time.
Really?
Yep.
How much did you think you knew about football that you really didn't know about football before when you started here?
I still don't know much about football. That's how I feel. You're still learning, you know? But you learn quite a bit. I mean, you go into it, and football kind of came naturally to me. I learned the game pretty easily, so I think that's why I gravitated to that instead of math. I did a nice job learning that, so I wanted to stay in that direction, but... The amount that you learn at the college level compared to the high school level is, when I got to the college level, it was, they were like speaking in hieroglyphics. I had no idea what they were talking about. And then to be able to continue to learn that, and then you add on top of that when you go with the coach, and then all of a sudden you start to see how they develop their game plans and how they go about scouting from week to week, it's pretty impressive, and you do learn a lot.
Now, when you started at BSU, you were 2 years removed from high school. You went to NDSU, and then you sat out a year?
I sat out a fall.
Fall.
Yep.
So do you think that helped you? I mean, you're instead of being an 18-year-old coming to BSU as a freshman, you're 20-year-old and a little bit maybe more seasoned?
Well, my wife continues to tell me I'm a 30-year-old trapped in a 41-year-old's body. So I think even me coming in at 20, I was still probably the mindset of an 18-year-old. But
a little green still.
Yeah, oh, God, plenty of green, believe me. Neon green. but I think the experience that I had at NDSU and the way it went forced me to buckle down and forced me to, it kind of put me into a corner. And, you know, I already had quit at another program, and now you're sitting here and the going gets tough, and you're like, I'm not doing that again. It forced me to grow up a bit, and so that was beneficial. Obviously, I didn't want it to play out the way it did there, but it helped force me to move forward and mature.
Okay, you mentioned your wife, Jackie, and of course, I know her from BSU Women's Hockey. How did you two meet? Obviously, you went to college together, but tell us briefly the story of how you two ended up married.
If she was only listening to this, because I'm not going to tell you the real story
okay,
what
good.
Happened, but I'm sure she's chuckling. Those that I've told the story to are also chuckling, but I robbed the Clarado. She's 8 years younger than me, so I didn't know her in college, and then a buddy of mine that was going to... was a GA with me, was going to marry Emily Brookshaw at the time, and so we were going to be in the wedding together. And so that's how I got to meet her, because I was going to be the best man and she was going to be the maid of honor. And so that's how we met at the Toasty Beavers at like 4 o'clock on a Saturday.
Wow.
That's how it all started right there.
I love it, and I still keep in touch with Em. Oh,
yes.
That's awesome. I did not know that story.
Yep, that's how it all happened. Now the dialogue there, we're gonna keep
okay,
that to ourselves.
Yeah. We don't need to put everything out on the open here.
Offense was played a lot differently when you played than it is now. Now it's spread them out and.
Schulze, I would have had a heart attack at the pace that they go now.
Yeah.
I needed a huddle just to regroup.
Minnesota State ran 84 plays last week. BSU ran 75. It's 160 plays in 60 minutes. It's just crazy.
Did we even hit that play amount in that 65-63 game?
Probably not.
Right.
My point is, back then it was a physical game. You just had to hand the ball off to Eddie and let him run. But the trenches have always been the trenches. I have heard stories from offensive linemen that when you're down in that three-point stance, you flinch at all, it's a five-yard penalty. The D lineman will spit on your hands. Trash talk is not even the correct word for some of the stuff that's being said out there. How bad was it?
It's all true, all those things. It also, you know, it's you don't see that. It's like the game within the game with the line and what's going on there compared to everything else that's going on. And it's the general football fan won't watch too intently on what is transpiring in there, but... There was some tense moments for sure, and then, you know, anytime you're trying to forcefully move a man against his will on both sides of the ball, there's going to be a little bit of a tension there. And so there was plenty of stories over the years of that going on, just like you're talking about.
As an offensive lineman, did you prefer to pass block or run block?
Well, that depended on who was in front of me.
You got to choose who to block?
Well, no. I remember we played a game in Northern State my senior year, and they had two Samoan brothers that were, one was 6'4", one was 300, and the other was 6'2", both over 300 pounds. And I got off the bus and saw them both, and I was like, how are these guys at Northern State? And then that was the old time where you had to be in a locker room and bus over to the field. And so I'm thinking the whole time, I'm psyching myself out. These guys are massive. How am I supposed to block these guys? Well, then I started thinking, well, they're at Northern State for a reason, Brian. They can't be as good as they look, right? So I'm like, okay, you're fine. And we get into the game. The first play was a pass play, and it's this kid. And so I get him on my pass set, and I threw a punch, and I lock out. And then he threw his punch, and I was on roller skates straight back to the quarterback. And I said, okay, this is not how I expected this to go. So, it depends. That's why I said it depends on who you're playing. But I think every offensive lineman would tell you, any true offensive lineman is going to tell you, you want to run block. And when you are run blocking well, and you're gaining yards, and you can just see you demoralizing the other team play by play. It's an offensive line.
Well, you're moving
dream forward, yes,
obviously, versus moving backwards,
correct,
too, just positionally.
Correct. Yeah, every old lineman's going to say their most favorite thing is to run block.
The center is the start of all the conversations of who's going to get blocked by whom. You're standing right next to him. The center's got to be a smart dude.
Yes.
Who are the good ones when you were playing?
Well, Jerry Daigle was the one when I started. And Jerry was a three-year starter at center. And he was one of the best that I played with. And then after Jerry graduated, I had 2 years with Bryce Volbrecht. And he was just as good. Both guys, smart. Both really, they weren't the biggest guys, but they're just tough. And they were, they're mentally tough. And they'd be able to battle through a game. And so I really enjoyed playing with them both.
How much of a difference does it make? I mean, could you have played center or right guard or right tackle? I mean, how much is it focused for you that I'm a left guard?
Well, I played right guard in high school. And then when I came here, they wanted to move me over to left guard. And so there was a bit of a transition because I had to switch my stance to a left-handed stance. But I never really liked playing the center position. I tried it when I was younger. It didn't go well.
So I always forgot the snap count.
Yes, I that's enough. You got,
got enough I to worry
had enough
about.
Worry about a guard. I didn't have to worry about snapping the ball, too.
What's the difference between guard and tackle? I mean, is it enough that you say, I prefer not to play tackle?
You know, on tackle, you're a little bit more on the edge. And so, and the one thing I enjoyed about being a guard is I'm centered between a tackle and a center. And so I had a little more help there. I enjoyed pulling. That was another thing that our tackles early on didn't do a lot of that. But I think you can coach kids that as long as they're willing to learn to go to each spot. Differently, but each kid's different, and I just really enjoyed guard.
And is it easier from a player perspective that I'm just going to be a guard?
Yes, for sure. I mean, if you have to be a guard and center and guard and tackle, we've had those in the past where they've had to back up, but it's an extra layer to have to learn and have to prepare for.
So pretty much you, as a coach, would say, okay, you're going to be the tackle, you're going to be the guard, and I mean, that's the way we're going to be.
Correct. Yep, and that's typically what has happened unless you have a guy that's good enough knowledge-wise to pick it up that they can bounce back and forth.
Brian Stoffel, our guest tonight, played at BSU in the early 2000s, jumped in the lake in his first homecoming game after a 4-overtime game in the snow on October the 7th. It just seems wrong that there would be snow and 33 at game time on October the 7th. Homecoming this weekend, Augustana is the opponent. The Budweiser pregame show at 1:30, Beaver football kickoff at 2. The game has changed a lot, but how has BSU prepared you for not only your current gig coaching, but current gig teaching?
Well, I think that BSU actually was a little ahead of their time at the time. You know, when I first came up here, we were one of the only teams that were running that spread offense, and we weren't in a shotgun, but there were some things that we were doing that other teams weren't. I think that gave them the edge, and I think BSU back then, even still maybe just a little bit today, they have to get creative with what they're doing because of they're doing much better, believe it, but they're not necessarily the haves like Mankato State and Duluth and those type of programs that have all those inherent benefits. So the creativity that came out of that office when I was there and when I was playing and coaching, I think that's what I gained the most of coaching-wise is just not being afraid to be creative and think of a different way to attack a problem. And I'm really blessed to be able to have that background because I think it always gives you an opportunity to reflect on what you're doing and what you can do to do better.
Had to help last year.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's adjust.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Brian, I got to ask a fun question. What is your favorite non-football homecoming memory that you could share on the radio? Yeah. I had to clarify that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, the first three that came to mind are things I can't talk about on radio, of course.
Of course.
I think, you know, honestly, I think it's as you get older, it's when the guys come back and you see a group of buddies that you spent so much time with and worked such for one singular goal. And I've in the last 10 years to be able to see those guys come back and have those moments at the street dance or at the park prior to the game, that's been my favorite as of late. You know, obviously when you're in your 20s, it's different. And the memories and things that you see and go through are much different. But I really enjoy to see the guys coming back that I played with and then their kids coming up and to see we're actually growing old and actually maturing is kind of impressive.
Football is such a unique sport. you know, if you're a basketball player, you can go to the local YMCA or the rec center, and you can play into your 60s or 70s or, heck, 80s. You can play golf your whole life. You can play baseball or softball your whole life. Football, not so much. I remember I was wise enough to know that as a high school senior, I was not going to be playing college football. But we lost in the playoffs, and coach said on the bus on the way back, he goes, I'm not going to open up the equipment room. We'll drop gear off on Monday. Take it home. Make sure you bring everything back on Monday.
Sure.
And literally Sunday night, it dawned on me, I'm never putting this stuff on again. And I'm in my room, and I put shoulder pads on, thigh pads, knee pads, full jersey, helmet, and I just sat there. And my mom walked past the room, and she looks inside, and she's like, what in the world is wrong with him? Football can bring that to a person. You see that every year with your current team. How fortunate do you feel that you're still able to be a part of the game?
I love being part of the game, and it's been the game has given me so much personally that it's my pleasure to give back as much as I can. And it's one of my first love. It's what I was confident in when I was a young kid. You know, when you're a kid and you're trying to find yourself, at, okay, what am I good at? And it just, for some reason, football clicked. And that gave me that sort of confidence that moving forward in my life, it gave me so many more opportunities and helped me get to the spot that I am. And, you know, like you're talking, Schultz, everybody gets to that point with football. Some people, it's after high school. Others, they're fortunate enough to go to college and have it. But I still remember the eve before my last college game, I had the same thoughts going through my head, and it finally hit me, like, this is done. I'm done after this game. And then, you know, I see it every year at high school. You know, the kids are crying after their final game, and it hits hard because you can't play it anymore. It's over. And that's what's unique to football. I think that's what helps make football special, is that once you're done, I mean, you have a small portion of time in which you can actually play the sport, and once it's done, it's done. And so you make the most of it while you have it, and you treasure the memories that you make with it.
Bemidji State, I think, is always going to be a hockey town because of our age. We can all understand that and agree with that and accept that. But what does it mean to you when your team and BSU are both good at the same time, and at least for a few months in the fall, this is a football town?
I love it, it's been because of people that have come before us and laid the groundwork there. You know, you got Troy sitting over here that started this thing at the high school, and you got Coach Tesh that started at the college. And when you get good people that are willing to work and put people first and do it the right way, and you start to build things, it's impressive what it can build too. And I've always appreciated the support that the Bemidji town and community have given not only BSU but the Lumberjacks as well.
Well, as a St. Paul kid, I'm hoping, because I'm outnumbered almost every week, you're a Viking fan. Would that be correct to say, because you're from St. Paul?
It's unfortunate to agree that, yes, I am a Vikings fan.
It's not unfortunate, no.
Being a Vikings fan has contributed to my male pattern baldness.
I hear you, man.
I've gone through so many ups and downs. I was in my dorm room at NDSU when Gary Anderson missed that kick.
Oh, no.
I remember exactly where I was. So, and I've been there the whole way. Yeah. Yes, I'm a Vikings fan, and they dupe me every time. Every year I say, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon. I know how this is going to end. And, of course, the last one was the miracle in Minneapolis.
Yes. Yes.
And so I was like, I'm in. And they're in the championship game, and, of course, I'm saying they're going to the Super Bowl. They pull me right in just to rip my heart out again. So,
join that club.
When they do that, though, in that case, it was a blowout. I mean, I don't mind if you can leave at halftime. But the Gary Anderson game, sucking you in until overtime, was pretty brutal. Now, I remember being in Maple Hall at BSU in 1987. Now, I'm dating myself. When Darren Nelson dropped the ball at the goal line in the NFC Championship game against the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
So, It just, you know, it comes with the territory of being a Viking fan. There's always next year. That's what they keep telling us.
Are we already right there? Are we there yet? There's always next year or this year?
I don't know about you. What'd you feel about Sunday? After the guy missed the kick, I'm like, that's about right. That seems about right.
We need to find a kicker that won't miss ever.
Well, you did pretty good, but you shouldn't leave it up to your kicker, right?
At
the end of the day.
Well, you know, you got
he gets paid too.
Yeah, you got NFL players, and that's the thing going round and around.
I'm just proud that you're a Viking fan, that you grew up in St. Paul, and because we got the Packer fans here. So okay. And Kelly's wishy-washy.
I'm married to a Packer fan.
She should be a Viking fan. But
I was born and raised a Viking fan. I also grew up in St. Paul.
Yes.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went to Hill Murray.
We'll try not to hold that against her.
I know, right? Please don't.
Hey, it's not Edina.
So an East Sider.
It's close to Edina.
Actually lived in Arden Hills, but I consider myself a St. Paulite.
Gotcha.
Born in St. Paul.
And so, Humble, where is that in St. Paul?
So if you were downtown St. Paul and you know all the bridges that go across, mm-hmm. I grew up right on the other side of those bridges. It's called the west side of St. Paul, but it's actually south of the downtown area. So okay. you do west the math Sider. On that. Yeah, that's right.
Cool. That's a fun place to grow. I mean, I grew up in Fridley, so I mean, we're all city
Arden Hills, yeah.
So yeah, that had been a fun place to grow up.
I loved it. I had a great time growing up there, and it was a lot of fun.
Was the X there when you were growing up?
No, I had the old Civic Center.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, part of our high school. We never made it for hockey, but every hockey tournament we were there, watching all the schools.
Yeah, right in the neighborhood, right?
That's right. Yeah. It didn't take us too long.
Cool.
Stop. Thanks for taking us all down memory lane tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for letting me come and go down it as well.
It was fun.
Best of luck on Friday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Brian Stoffel. Okay, I need to say this one more time.
He's an All-American.
He was an All-American.
Can I get in on that money? He's an All-American. Give it up.
Brian Stoffel joining us tonight. It's the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
The Great Beaver Get-Together returns during BSU Homecoming this Friday through Sunday. Friday features alumni leaders in the classroom and honors gala. Then on Saturday, it's a parade at 11 a.m. on Birchmont Drive, followed by tailgating at Diamond Point Park. Then it's BSU Homecoming football against Augustana at 2. Visit the new Marion Christian Dance Studio at 5:30. Then Saturday night, the Beaver Block Party downtown Bemidji. On Sunday, it's the Carl O. Thompson Memorial Concert. More info at bsualumni.org/homecoming.
The Gigazone from Paul Bunyan Communications is 10 times faster. Now you can get internet upload and download speeds up to 10 gigabits per second. Plus, you can add Gigazone Blast Wi-Fi featuring Wi-Fi 6 technology to get the best in-home wireless experience. For the fastest internet service for your home or business, choose Minnesota's largest broadband cooperative, Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the Gigazone. It's right here. Service availability depends upon location. Some restrictions may apply.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. 5 classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
Got joint pain?
Get to Choice Therapy.
Got neck or back pain?
Get to Choice Therapy.
Got foot or ankle pain?
Go to choicetherapy, the number 1.com.
Got elbow, wrist, and hand pain?
Your best choice for relief is at choicetherapy, the number 1.com.
Whether you suffer from these ailments or other problems like post-surgical rehab, jaw pain, work injuries, shoulder pain, sports injuries, Choice Therapy is your answer. With locations throughout northern Minnesota, find out more at choicetherapy, the number 1.com.
Everyday Made Better with Hot Spring Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota. As many of you know, hot tubs are good for your health. Let's get into something else very good for your health. Saunas. We have outdoor, indoor, infrared, wood burning, electric, and all varieties to meet your needs. Currently in stock and available with various financing options. Come sit in one today at Hot Spring Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Target.
For the area's largest selection of home furnishings, stop in at St. Michael Furniture in downtown Bemidji. Hi, this is Ethan St. Michael. St. Michael Furniture is a family-owned business offering you the best prices and service around. Our sales staff is knowledgeable in all types and styles of furniture, and our goal is to help you make the best buying decision without feeling any pressure. We can help with financing, up to 12 months interest-free. Plus, we offer free and fast delivery. See our store for details. St. Michael Furniture. Stop in and see us in downtown Bemidji.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern on South Shore, the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. Homecoming week. Parade starts at 11.
And then the party starts, right?
Parade starts on Birchmont Drive, goes right down Birchmont and hangs a right into Diamond Point Park, right into a tailgate party.
You know,
that's my kind of parade.
When I was in college, I remember, and this is, I don't know if it's still something they do, but we started like at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning with the cartoon kegger. Do they still do stuff like that?
How do I know?
Did you ever do anything like that?
We never stopped from the night before.
Well, it felt like it some homecomings. That it was, just a continuation. We took a little nap between 3 and 5 a.m., but...
Nah, that's overrated.
Coordinated homecoming cartoon activities.
I will say this, homecoming at BSU has always been my favorite. I originally went to the University of Minnesota. Homecoming was chaos.
Oh yeah.
At the U. You come up here and everybody knows everybody,
well,
and we had so much fun. Even though I was an older student when I went to BSU, I still ran into my classmates, went to the dance and everything my last year at BSU, and that was a blast.
So now they do the street dance, right?
Oh, the street dance.
It's
going to
be beautiful
awesome
this Saturday night, so that'll be fun. Downtown.
Downtown is going
to
be beautiful.
Is that limited to 21 and over, right?
Yes, 21 and older.
Because, you know, most of the time I was at BSU, I was not 21 years of age. I was younger. So you had to find alternative entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there'll be house parties.
Oh, you know that. Yes.
This is the statute of limitations over for all of this.
I think it is.
I think so, yeah.
Right? If you're not positive, you should just stop talking right now.
30 years later, I think it's okay to admit that I did find a couple of alternative ways to celebrate when I was 20 years old.
So every week, I send an email to the BSU Athletic Media Relations staff.
I loved Brad's email back.
Requesting the athlete interviews for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent the request for today for next week, Monday's interviews. And I had to include hockey players. And I replied, I said, I can't believe I'm typing in winter sports teams into this list. And the reply back was, great, my anxiety just went through the roof.
Brad.
Women's hockey has an exhibition game this Saturday in St. Cloud. Open up the season for real a week from this Friday, October 1st, at St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And the
BSU men will play an exhibition game on October 2nd in Grand Forks.
That's a week from Saturday at the Ralph.
Correct. This Saturday is my last football game of the year.
Oh, it's me and Mark the rest of the way, huh?
Nope.
It's me? Let's Mark.
Nope. Let's see if you can guess this. No, let's not see if you can guess
this.
No. You might say some names that I don't want you to say.
Yeah.
Kevin Reed.
Oh, Kevin's coming back.
Left the Beaver Radio Network.
Before
two and a half,
COVID,
two and a half years
18
ago?
Months
you might
ago.
Say some names of people I don't want you to say.
And
I probably would, too.
He took a job with the Baltimore Orioles.
Right. Their season's done, right?
Game site engineer and producer. And he sent me a text about a month ago and says, man, I am really waiting for October 3rd to be over because they are the worst team in baseball this year.
Right. Oh, no.
Kevin is coming back to Minnesota after the baseball season is over, and he's going to finish out the football season for us.
All right.
I love it. I'm so happy to have Kevin back. He's good at football.
He is, and that means I'll work with him on the 16th of Saturday, or 16th of October. That'll be my first game with him.
Correct.
Because we'll work together this weekend, and I'll be gone on the...
And I won't be there on October 2nd because right. I'll have to leave for Grand Forks.
Yeah, you're going
to
be at hockey.
2 in the afternoon.
So
hockey season starts this week.
I know. And unfortunately, we won't have the women's exhibition game on the Beaver Radio Network.
They added that one kind of late. Kel already committed to a class reunion.
Yeah, a class reunion that was supposed to happen last year, and it's a big, sort of a big one.
Well, and you get plenty of, I mean, there's plenty of more games.
Yeah.
So it's an exhibition game, even though, you know, now they can play like BSU's playing. Who are they playing? St. Cloud, right?
St. Cloud.
I mean, that's a conference opponent.
Exactly.
Exhibition style.
Correct.
It's more like a scrimmage then. I mean, other than it's a game.
Well, there'll be referees and you can go sit in the penalty box and all that other stuff.
But I'll be honest, I'm actually really excited for October 1st and playing the St. Thomas University.
The women.
Yeah, the women's team.
Is that their first D1 game?
First games in the Division I era for them.
Sweet.
Are there women's teams called the Tommies, too?
I don't know. I got to look that up.
I honestly don't know that.
And it says Mendota Heights here. What arena are they playing in?
St. Thomas Academy.
Yeah.
The high school teams? That's where they're playing their games.
That's where they're playing until they get their rink built.
So their first Division I football game got COVIDed out.
Oh.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then they played Michigan Tech, I think it was, last week and beat them by like 2. Michigan Tech's Division II. Their transition to D1 is going to be
just like ours.
A little rough. Well, they're doing every sport, though.
True.
Because you had to take one existing and created a second one.
Right. Well, and I mean, for those of us who are here, won't long forget the 1998, 1999 years. I mean, those were not very fun, but you knew it was coming. I mean, it's part of the transition to get to that level, and obviously they've been, I mean, very competitive since.
Yes.
But it was not a very fun couple of years, and that's what St. Thomas is just going to have to go through.
To quote RH in starting the BSU women's hockey program, we didn't even have a skate lace, Schulte. Starting from the ground up. At least St. Thomas has existing programs.
Correct.
Moving them all to Division I.
Yeah. But hockey, here we come, right? Hockey, football, at least the weather, again, is beautiful. So, I mean, hockey can start now as long as the weather does not follow for about 5-6 weeks.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks to Brian Stoffel for joining us tonight. Yes, he was an All-American here at BSU.
He was an All-American. Absolutely.
Homecoming parade starts at 11 down Birchmont. If you don't want to be a part of the parade, just join us at Diamond Point Park.
Pete's Pizza on the grill.
Parting.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, beautiful weather, no reason not to be there Saturday.
Budweiser pregame show at 1:30, Beaver football kickoff at 2. We are back next Wednesday here at the Tavern for the Coach's Huddle. The Tom Ceratori Show starts in 2 weeks.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us tonight. More info online, BeaverRadioNetwork.com.
Go Beavers!
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.